The following sermon was preached at Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Redlands, California. For more information, please visit our website at hopeprc.org.
Tonight we open the Bible to Psalm 18. Psalm 18, let's read together the first 32 verses. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also, and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub, and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. That the brightness that was before him as thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He shot out lightnings and discomfited them. And the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward thou wilt show thyself froward. Thou wilt save the afflicted people, but will bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee have I run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. This is the divinely inspired, infallible, sacred scripture. May God bless the reading of it to our hearts this evening. The text for the sermon is verse 30. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, Psalm 18 is one of the longest psalms And in addition to its length, one of its outstanding features is that it is duplicated almost word for word in 2 Samuel 22. 2 Samuel recounts for us the life and the kingship of David. And as soon as we get into 1 Kings, we find the death of David. 2 Samuel has 24 chapters. We find this psalm in chapter 22. And the placement of this psalm in the flow of the history is significant because it tells us that David wrote this psalm late in his life. And that's confirmed by the heading, which reads, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul." Particular mention is made of he who was arguably David's most bitter foe, Saul. So if we go to the point in David's life at which he was when he wrote Psalm 18, that is, late in his life, we can look back over the past and see conflict. In fact, we could look back and distinguish three different periods in David's life. There was the early period in which he had to fight that champion giant Goliath. And then especially for years, he was hunted by Saul, who wanted to kill him. In fact, if we went even before that early period, we find David killing with his own hands a lion and a bear, which were trying to steal Father Jesse's sheep. So the early period, conflict. If we move into the middle period of David's life, we find him in his prime, the publicly anointed king of Israel, trying to advance the kingdom of Israel over against the Philistines and the Edomites and the Ammonites and the Moabites and the Amalekites, constantly warring for the sake of the kingdom, constant conflict. And then we can identify a third period in David's life to this point. And that would be when all of his children have grown and become adults, and one of his own sons, Absalom, hates his own father and is willing to chase and try to kill his own father in order to have the throne, so that it was continual sorrow and strife and grief for David. Here he is late in his life. We look back and see continual conflict. When was there ever quietness? For David, when was his life like the life of Solomon, especially early in his reign, with all that peace and prosperity? Constant conflict and strife. Now, late in his life, he's still alive. And that's amazing. David's still alive. The Lord has delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies, including especially Saul. And so David pens Psalm 18, joyfully extolling God for all of his deliverances. To God be the glory, my rock and my salvation. In the middle of Psalm 18, we find David summing up all of his experiences, the whole of his life of conflict, and he reduces it all to one simple statement, a simple confession. And that's the confession of the text in verse 30. As for God, his way is perfect. God is sovereign. God has ordained my life. My life and all its perfect plan was ordered ere my days began. And God's way for my life is perfect. That's our confession tonight. First of all, for applicatory, as we look at God's way for our life in the light of God's way for the life of the Messiah Jesus Christ and his death, which we commemorated in a special way this morning. And as we look, secondly, at God's extraordinary way for the little baby boy who is baptized this evening. And as all of us, young and old alike, look back at our own life, whether it's only been a few years or whether we can identify distinct periods in our life, we all make one confession. We will make it early. We will make it often tonight. And so we want to take the confession and lift it right out of the text and make it the theme of our sermon. As for God, His way is perfect. Let's consider that tonight, looking first of all at the content of this confession, secondly, the source of this confession, and third, the making of this confession. Psalm 18, verse 30. As for God, His way is perfect. God's way. The word way refers literally to a path that has a beginning. It continues in a certain direction and then it has an end. But in the text, the word way refers figuratively to the manner in which God, by His providence, manages the world. Just as a CEO of a company has his way, and in the company we say he does things his way. That is, he manages the company according to his own will and plan. So God has his way, that is, the manner by which God governs the world. Our God governs the world according to his eternal counsel, by his almighty hand of providence. God governs the universe, the heavens and the earth, all kingdoms and nations, elect and reprobate. We could put it somewhat crassly and say, our God does whatever he wants. Our God has his way, and our God gets his way. To the heathen, we say, your God has feet, but he can't walk, and your God has eyes, but he can't see, and your God has ears, but he can't hear. But our God, Psalm 115, verse 3, but our God is in the heavens, and he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. In order to underscore the sovereignty of God who has his way, the psalmist uses the name God, not the name Lord or Jehovah, which emphasizes his covenant faithfulness, but the name that indicates almighty, creative, sovereign power. Genesis 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Psalm 18, verse 30, as for God, almighty, sovereign God, his way is perfect. The focus of the psalmist David, of course, is not upon God's way for the universe, but upon God's way for him personally. Psalm 18 is all about the deliverances of God for David. And so David in the text is confessing, as for God, his way for me personally is perfect. David and each one of us has a way. In the literal sense of the word, it begins in the belly, and then it runs through the course of our whole life, and then it ends in the grave. We have a way. God's way determines our way. Go back to the belly. God's way determines everything about us in the belly. Regarding our body and our soul and who our parents will be, we don't determine that. Whether they will be Christians or Muslims, whether they will be rich or poor, whether they will be American or Chinese or African. And God's way determines when we are born as to the precise moment, but also as to the timing. What are the circumstances in the home or the circumstances in the church, if our parents belong to the church? Or what are the big picture circumstances in the history of the world at this time? God's way determines our beginning in the belly. You look at David, that he was born of Jesse, and that he was born in the lineage of the Messiah, and that he was born at the beginning of the kingdom of Israel, the theocracy. And then you look behind him at his ancestry at Shem, who was born of Noah and who was born prior to the flood in a totally different world. God's way determines the beginning of our way. And then God's way determines the whole course. And every circumstance and every detail of every day, every joy and every sorrow and every opportunity and every relationship, everything determined by God. And then his way determines the last few steps and then the grave itself. Look at David. He wasn't taken by the paw of the bear or the mouth of the lion. He was not taken by the spear of Goliath or by the javelin of Saul. He wasn't taken by the sword of the Philistines. He wasn't taken by the spear of Absalom. God would have him old and stricken in years and lying in bed because young Solomon was there, the heir to the throne, and David had to give a charge to Solomon. God's way determined David's way from the beginning all the way to the bed and then into the grave. And God's way determines the way for every man in the whole world and every man in the church. And therefore, God not only determines our path or our way, but how other paths relate to our paths and whether another path will run alongside of ours, whether that of another person will intersect our path and for how long, and whether those paths will ever intersect again. So look at David and all the different people who had a role and influenced him in his life. Father Jesse, older brother Eliab, prophet Samuel, father-in-law, an enemy Saul, Bathsheba, Uriah, Nabal, Abigail, Joab, Shimei, Ahithophel, Hushai, Barzillai, Mephibosheth, Solomon, Nathan, and many more. God's way determines our way and the way of every other person whose way may be related to our way. As for God, his way is perfect. What a remarkable adjective David uses, perfect. Perfect means conforming absolutely to the highest standard of goodness. God is God. God is the absolute standard of goodness because he is goodness. And so that God's way is perfect means that God's way conforms absolutely to God himself in his infinite goodness. And David can confess that God's way is perfect as David looks in three directions. First, and always first, as David looks up and beholds his God, the God about whom he speaks, opening the psalm, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, in my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies." What makes God's way perfect? This: everything God does in and for David's life serves the glory and honor of God's own name as the God who is worthy to be praised. That always makes his way perfect. Secondly, David can look all around him at the kingdom of Israel. He can see the men and the women and the children, and he can see the advancement of the kingdom of Israel over against the enemies, including especially the Jebusites, for the establishment of the kingdom in Jerusalem atop God's holy mount. And he can see as he looks out into the distance by faith, the coming of the promised Messiah, Jesus Christ, whose personal coming will be the coming of God's kingdom. And everything that God does in David's life serves the coming of the kingdom. And that makes God's way perfect. And then David can look at himself. And everything that God does in David's life serves David's own personal good, his salvation, through the strengthening of his faith, so that more and more he turns away from sin and self-reliance and turns unto the God who is his rock and his salvation. All things work together for David's good, and that makes God's way perfect. So now here he is at Psalm 18, later in his life. He's looking back over all the history of his own life. He has the opportunity to scrutinize every aspect of God's way, even to criticize, to point out flaws and imperfections in that which ought to be improved, whether ever so slightly or whether greatly. But David says, as for God, his way is perfect. Perfect. I would not want it any other way. What makes his word perfect so remarkable is that the story of David's life is not the story of peace and tranquility and ease, but constant conflict and turmoil. Psalm 18, verse 4, the sorrows of death compassed me in the floods of ungodly men, made me afraid. How bad was it, David? This bad. Verse 5, the sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. Or in the immediately preceding verse, verse 29, for by thee have I run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. There were troops, there were walls in David's life. So think back to the life of David. Just think, for example, of Absalom, the son of his own loins, Absalom. And when the messenger came back from the battle to report to David what had happened to Absalom, who was his enemy, hunting him, seeking to kill the life of King David, but that Absalom was also David's son. And David knew that Absalom in his soul went into everlasting perdition the moment he died. And that brought out of the depths of his heart that impassioned lament, Absalom, oh Absalom, my son Absalom. Untold grief for Father David in the loss of his son Absalom. And you can go through so many circumstances of David's life. God could have arranged David's life in such a different way, have made it so much easier, so fewer tears and less conflict and strife, but he did not. And David confesses, as for God, his way for me is perfect. We join our voices with the psalmist David tonight and confess that God's way for David is perfect. And that's because in the old dispensation, David was a historical type of our Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. According to his manhood, the Lord Jesus had a beginning in the belly. And out of the belly he came, and he was immediately hunted. So Joseph and Mary hurried him down to Egypt. And fast forward later into his ministry, the Jews were always plotting how they might kill Jesus. And the devil was always after him. And worst of all, he had that inner conflict and turmoil of soul which no man could ever see. For he was the sin bearer as the mediator and head of the everlasting covenant of grace. And he bore the iniquity of us all. And because of it, the wrath of God the Father was upon him. And into the garden he went. And finally to the cross he went, bruised for our iniquities and then into the grave, the place of corruption. But you know what was so remarkable through it all? Our Lord Jesus Christ himself confessed, "As for God, God my Father, his way for me," which is a way of redemption in the covenant, the way we celebrated in the table of Holy Communion this morning, the breaking of his body and the shedding of his blood, the way of God for me, which is the way of inexpressible sorrow and anguish that ends in the cross, the way of God for me, the Messiah. It is perfect. All the glory goes to my Father. And this way serves the advancement of his kingdom. And this way is even for my exaltation one day as the Lord. His way for me is perfect. Now, more than David ever understood back in the shadows of the old dispensation, we look back and we see the historical type and we say tonight, as for God, his way for David, whom he appointed a type in the Old Testament, his way is perfect because David, in all that conflict, pictured the Lord Jesus Christ and his life and death on our behalf. Perfect. As for God, his way is perfect. David does not confess God's way is perfect. He says, and you can ignore the italics in the first two words of verse 30, he says, as for God, his way is perfect. And that adds so much to David's confession. What David is doing with those two little words is he's setting up this contrast between God and everyone and everything else. As for God, David is saying, as for me, my way is not perfect. If I had my way so I could determine the course of my life from the belly to the grave, I would have taken out all of that history with Saul and all of the opposition from the Philistines and having my own son perish in the way of rebellion and unbelief, I would have changed it all. But as for me, my way is imperfect because I am so short-sighted. I focus on the particulars of today that I feel, and I'm ignorant of the big picture perspective. And I'm so selfish and self-centered, and I always want what pleases me and my flesh and what is most convenient for me. As for me, my way for my life, my way is imperfect and full of sin. As for my enemies, all of these enemies, their way for me is a way of destruction. They despise me. With the pure, they show themselves impure. And with the merciful, they show themselves cruel. And with the upright, like me, they show themselves base and deceitful. And with the others who are froward, they show themselves to be supportive. As for my enemies, their way for me is abominably wicked. And now you can see the contrast and why David makes this confession. But as for God, his way is perfect. And isn't that God's own declaration to Judah through Isaiah? Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." As for God, his way is perfect. Only the believer who has faith in the word of Jehovah makes this confession. The source of this confession is the word of the Lord planted in the heart of the believer. And that's the teaching of the second half of the text when David goes on to confess, "The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. The word of the Lord. Here, David uses the name Lord, which emphasizes God's covenant faithfulness and salvation through the promised Messiah. The word of the Lord is the word of the gospel, the word of peace and hope and grace, the word of salvation in Jesus Christ. And David had that word in two respects. First of all, David had that word as it was written out. It was called the Book of the Covenant. We know it today as the first five books of the Bible, written by Moses, Genesis to Deuteronomy. The Word of the Lord. But the Word of the Lord was also that Word as it was spoken to David authoritatively by the prophets, early on Samuel and later Nathan. David had the Word of the Lord. The Word of the Lord is tried. That means it is tested. And it proves itself to be reliable and valuable. Just as a man might have a piece of metal, and it contains many impurities and dross, and he puts it into the heat of the fire, and then he pulls it back out so that that piece of metal is tried with all of the impurities burned away. It proves itself to be reliable and valuable. The word of the Lord is tried. That implies fire. The fire of conflict and strife, which was the story of David's life. You see, when David is in the heat of battle, when David's hiding out in the cave because Saul is hunting him and wants to kill him, what does David have in the cave? When David's grieving because Absalom is dead, what does David have in the fires of strife and grief? The Word of the Lord. So that David and the Word go together through the fires of conflict. And in those fires, the Word is always tried. That is, the Word always proves itself to be reliable and valuable. And that's true throughout all the generations of the covenant, going all the way back to Adam and Eve when they first received the Word of Jehovah in paradise after their sin. The Word of the Lord is always tried. It always proves itself to be a source of strength, reliable and valuable for those who have that Word read and heard. How is it reliable and valuable? David keeps going. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. A buckler is that small round shield with which the soldier could withstand the fiery darts and spears and javelins of the enemy. David is a believer. David has faith. He trusts in the word of the Lord. And the Holy Spirit takes the word of the Lord and he puts it in the believer David's heart. And when that word is in David's heart, then Jehovah God himself is as a buckler to protect David's heart and the hearts of all those who trust in him. So that in the fires of strife, when the fiery darts of the wicked one come, which darts are the temptations to be afraid or to despair or to be angry with God or to seek vengeance against the enemy, when all those temptations to sin come to the heart, he who has by the Spirit the word of the Lord that is always tried, planted in his heart, as Jehovah God as a buckler to protect his heart and to keep the faith preserved within him. And this has always been the experience of God's people for all those who trust in the Lord. His word is tried. With what result? Out of that heart in which the Spirit puts the word of the Lord comes the confession. As for God, his way is perfect. The word in the heart is the source. No word no buckler. No buckler, no confession. Without the word, David would not be able to look up and behold his great God, the rock, the refuge, the strong high tower, and be able to confess that everything that God is doing in David's life serves the glory of God's own name. Without the word of the Lord, David would not be able to confess that everything God is doing in his life is serving the advancement of the kingdom of Israel and the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Without that word planted by the Spirit in David's heart, David would not be able to confess that everything God is doing in his life serves his own good and salvation through the strengthening of his faith. But with the word of the Lord, that's tried. It's always proved to be reliable and valuable, as God himself through that word is a buckler for all those who trust in him. With that word in the heart, then out comes the confession. As for God, his way is perfect. This is the word of the Lord. For example, Leviticus 16, verse 34, which David could read regarding the Day of Atonement. And this shall be an everlasting statute unto you to make an atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. That word of the atonement is the word of the Lord. And it's tried. It's been used over and over again. You see, in the fires of conflict, for example, when David is being harassed, hated, and chased by Saul, who wants to kill him, the great temptation coming from the evil one, like a fiery dart, is the temptation to believe that God does not love me and God is actually against me. God is coming after me through Saul. If God actually loved me, he would drive away this wicked blasphemer, Saul. God must not be for me. God is against me. And that's very evident by what Saul is doing for me as the instrument of God who is against me. And then with so many saints, David goes to the word of the Lord, the word of the atonement, the word of the supper that we had this morning, the word in which God says, David, I've covered in my sight all your sins. I'm not against you. I am for you. Even in this, I am for you. And when that tried word is put by the Spirit in David's heart, then David confesses, as for God, his way is perfect. Or one more example, going to the very end of the book of the covenant, the latter chapters of the book of Deuteronomy, listen to these words of the Lord. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, he is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. And Deuteronomy 33, 25 through 27, thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. There's none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Those words are tried. They've been used by many saints. They always prove to be reliable and valuable. And those words in the heart are the source of the confession. As for God, his way is perfect. Tonight we have the word of the Lord proclaimed to us out of the sacred scriptures and in the holy gospel. And with that word in our hearts, we will take the confession of the text and make it our own confession. And we will say, as for God, his way is perfect. What is the battle? Who are the enemies? What are the troops? What are the walls? What are the fires of conflict? Is the devil tormenting you and your faith, perplexed, doubting, maybe even depressed, believer? Or is there a Shimei in your life who is cursing you? Or an Ahithophel who has betrayed you, once a friend, now a foe? Has cancer or some other disease come like a troop into and upon your body to eat up your flesh as a foe? Or is the devil using adversity at present in your home, or in one of your relationships, or in your church life to weary you, to bring all kinds of conflict that you do not want? The last enemy, of course, is death. And sometimes death comes predictably, but other times death comes suddenly and with no announcement, perhaps snatching away a young man or a young woman and carrying one off to the grave as the last enemy. All these enemies, all these battles, all the conflict, the strife, the grief of our life has been ordained by God. His way determines our way. Now let's look back, whether we are young or whether we are older. Look back at the whole of our life, and what will we say now about all of it? Let's look at it this way. Let's imagine an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. Only this paper is not 8.5 inches wide. It's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of feet long. It is a banner unfurled, and carefully written out on this banner is the timeline of your life, beginning in the belly and being added to at this very moment. Every day, every circumstance of every day is written out on this very detailed timeline. And don't look at it from the perspective of you and what you've done and your sins, and you hide your face in shame. But look at it from the point of view of God and His sovereignty, His way for your life. Said over above the banner are the words, God's way for my life. And now, very briefly, let's just take a glance at the timeline for the little baby who was baptized this morning, and Jeremy and Maggie with little Tanner. Announcement of a pregnancy and excitement. And then you move down the timeline and the ultrasounds and the word of warning from the doctor. There may be abnormalities and serious health issues with this child, and more meetings and more ultrasounds and more reasons for fear. And then the word you ought to consider to terminate the life of this baby, and that fits on the timeline. And then finally, the baby is born, a little baby, probably the smallest baby anyone here has ever seen, 1 pound, 2 ounces. That's on the timeline. And then the new life in the hospital, and moment by moment waiting, what will happen to little Tanner? And living in the Ronald McDonald House, and everything involved with the life of this little baby. That timeline. But now your timeline and my timeline. Look at it. And suppose you have a red marker and you will now circle everything on that timeline that ought to be changed, amended, elided. For David, maybe it's the whole history with Saul or the Philistines or the circumstances with Absalom. Maybe for you, maybe that one moment in which your whole life changed, just like that. Or maybe the death of a loved one. Maybe a person who came into your life with hatred for you. Something in the body, something in the home, something in the soul. And now you have the opportunity, and suppose the whole world is watching, and you may circle everything on the timeline of your life that ought to be changed. And though ungodly men would, 100 men out of 100, mark up the whole timeline, David and every child of God who has the tried word of the Lord in his heart puts down the pen and says, as for God, His way is perfect. Because I look up and I behold my God, and though I don't fully understand, I believe everything God has ordained in my life brings Him glory. Though I don't fully understand, I believe everything God has ordained for my life, it serves the coming of the kingdom and even the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though I don't understand, I believe that everything God has ordained for my life, it serves my eternal good, and it is preparing me for the place that is reserved for me in the eternal inheritance of heaven. I believe, and so I confess, as for God, His way is perfect. But you see, if we do not have the word of the Lord, if we do not have the word of the Lord opened up, the word of the Lord faithfully preached to us every Sunday as the gospel, if we do not have the word of the Lord brought to us by friends, brothers and sisters in the church, if we're left in our life with our own thoughts and our own evaluation of God's will, then we will never say perfect. Never say perfect. We might go so far as to say, as for God, His way with my life, it is mysterious. His way is in the sea. But we will never say perfect. Or we might say, as for God, His way for my life, it is unfair, unjust, cruel even, but never say perfect. But with the word of Jehovah, the word that always has us look at our life in the light of the way of God for the Messiah, Jesus Christ, which way was on display before us in the elements of the table this morning, the sacrament of Holy Communion, when we have God's word in our hearts, the word that always brings us back to the cross and what God has done for us, unworthy sinners in Jesus Christ. And we can look at our life in the light of the cross, then we can say, as we say tonight, and as we will continue to say tomorrow and all the days of our life, God give us the grace. As for God, His way is perfect. For Tanner and Jeremy and Maggie, we say, as for God, His way is perfect. Amen. Let us pray. Our faithful Heavenly Father, if anyone here tonight is reluctant or even unwilling to say, "Thy way is perfect," then sweetly bend that will by thy sovereign grace. It is hard to say it, but by thy grace we do say it. Thy way for us is perfect. So hallowed be thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.